Ramsey TV.
Yeah, you've heard me say many times, I have said many times, that the age of miracles is no longer upon us. The age of miracles died with the apostles and the disciples of Christ, who were showing signs of the coming kingdom, as would be expected, as Jesus said would happen. But then when that kingdom receded into the future to make way for Paul's gospel, the miracles went away. But now I'm wondering, because I, ladies and gentlemen, Martin Zender, ought to be, need to be, demand to be credited with a miracle. And I think, I'm going to explain it to you here in a second, and I think that if I have two miracles, then should I expire before the snatching away of the Lord, I could be canonized, that is, shot out of a cannon by the Catholic Church. I have to have two miracles. I think I have one. Yeah, you remember I told you on greetings, everyone. This is Martin Zender. If you didn't see Friday's show, you need to catch it. I talked about that homeless guy I gave the $20 to, and he was upset that I gave him $20. He demanded I buy him Marlboro 100s and beer. So I'm taking his order out there. I should have asked him if he wanted a side of fries with that. I said, well, I just gave you $20. Go get it yourself. I can't walk. He couldn't walk, he said. I took his order. I went into the Walgreens because he was sitting on the sidewalk outside of the Walgreens. I got him his cigarettes. I got him his beer. I came out, gave him his bag. He rose up and walked out to the bus stop. It was a miracle. I mean, back in the day, it was very fashionable to say, take up your pallet and walk, but Martin Zender style, take up your Marlboro 100s and you're forced to be and walk. And he did. It was a miracle. Also on Friday, you need to catch that show. If you didn't, I can't think of the name of the show. Oh yeah, it was part, what part is this of the armor of God? Whatever part this is, subtract one number, and that was Friday's show. I told you how I got so upset when I got out of my car with trying to juggle several different of those wimpy plastic bags they give you at grocery stores. Now, my jar of salsa fell out, and I was having a bad day. I explained that to you. This shows, of course, how human I am, and I don't love to demonstrate it, but it just happens. Some people think that I just float through life. I have a wonderfully easy life, and that things go good for me. I'm like this wise man on top of the mountain, and I dispense wisdom from my parapet, and I dine sumptuously, and none of this is true. Well, I did dine sumptuously this morning. I had oatmeal with bananas and frozen raspberries sprinkled with stevia, and you have to add that Himalayan sea salt. But other than that, no, I've struggled with depression for years, low-grade depression. Sometimes it's grade A. Sometimes it's grade A. Anyway, I was so upset, the salsa bottle fell out of the bag onto the ground. I was so ticked because it was the 100th bad thing that happened, 100th thing that went wrong, the old proverbial straw that breaks the back of poor Camel Zender. I think camels sound like goats, don't they? Okay, anyway, I threw the thing into the bush, and I said on Friday that maybe on Monday we'll go on an expedition. I'll take you out there with my cell phone. I'll show you where it happened. We'll go out and look for the salsa. I'm sorry to disappoint anybody, but I mean, we're talking about the armor of God here, whatever part this is. And I don't think it's the right thing to do to interrupt such a profound spiritual topic to do something as frivolous as going outside to see where the salsa jar went that I threw in anger across my driveway. That would be ridiculous. Unless I just out and out change my mind, which... All right, so I was standing here. I got out of my car. I put my groceries in the back seat. So I had them in the back seat here. Yeah, okay, well, here's a plastic bag now. Here's a plastic bag. Oh, this is the same one that had the blue corn chips in it. There you go. These are the blue corn chips that I was eating. And so I picked this plastic bag up, and look, look. See how wide these things are at the end? These things, it's wide here. It must have been a faulty bag. But anyway, I went to get it, and look. Freaking thing fell right out of the side here. The salsa fell right here. I got so pissed that I took the jar and I just, like, you skip a stone across the lake. I just flung it, and I remember, we're gonna go over right now. I swear I have not even, it's either in this bush or it's over here. It like skipped, and I don't think it broke. Like, I haven't even checked to see. Like, this is my driveway right there. So, all right, let's see if we can find this thing. Holy smokes, I see it. There it is. There it is. Tostitos, man. No. Is it Tostitos? What the hell? Second. There it is. We're sneaking up on it. Hey, crikey, there he is. Hey, he's all sleepy. He's not moving much. Yeah, he's got problems over here, yeah. Blimey. Don't want to disturb this little guy here. Oh, he's not alive. He's dead. Flat out dead. Here he is. Been through hell out here for days. Sitting out here. Oh, Snyders. Yeah, it's a Snyders. Medium chunky saucer. Yeah. I don't know how he survived out here in the wilderness. Freaking fascinating. Maybe I'll leave it out here. Maybe it'll decompose. And then maybe another jar will grow up. Maybe five more jars will grow up after it decomposes. Okay, there's that. So let's get back to Ephesians 6. We're going to go through every single one of the parts of this armor. I got to make a political point real quick. Now, this is not the show where I'm going to talk to you about what happens if Donald Trump loses. That's coming up, I think, later this week, maybe by Friday. I should finish up the armor of God by Thursday, I would think, maybe Wednesday. Who knows? You know me, it'll probably be Thursday. And then I'm going to talk about what if Donald Trump loses. He's not going to, but what if he does? We can't lose. We can't lose. That's what you need to keep in mind there. But somebody said, why is Trump still talking about this virus, the CV19er, as though it's a pandemic when the CDC itself, the Centers for Disease Control, has come out and said that only 6% of the stated deaths that have been supposedly caused by CV19er, only 6% are actually caused by it, have actually been caused by it. Because as we've known for a long time, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we who dig a little deeper into the news, the hospitals, nursing homes, what have you, have been incentivized to list CV19er as the cause of death because the left and the mainstream news media, one and the same, they want to amp up the numbers so that people can be made afraid, so that they then can control the people and make them line up for a universal vaccine, which will be the mark of the beast. Mom, they might not know it'll be the mark of the beast, but they want control. So they need to gin up the fear. To gin up the fear, they need to gin up the numbers, but the numbers have been falsified. They've been phony. Yeah, somebody that dies in a car accident, if they have the CV19er in their system, they are incentivized financially to record it as a CV19er death. So only 6% of the stated deaths, and I think at the time this information came out a couple weeks ago, there were maybe 160,000 stated deaths from CV19er. Turns out maybe there's only 9,000-10,000 after all. Oopsie! That's even less than the regular yearly flu. Yeah. So why is then the question my friend asked, why is Trump still like touting, like, I saved millions of deaths by halting flights from China, and then after that from Europe early on in February, I saved the world. See, he's using this to his advantage. It's brilliant. Trump is smarter than anybody realizes. He knows that the deaths have been artificially inflated in order to gin up the fear, in order to control people politically. He knows that. But see, now he's coming across, since many, many, many people believe the hype, he's coming across as somebody who saved people from it. So he's using the left. The left built this thing up as a terrible thing, which, I mean, it's bad when people die, but it's not as nearly as terrible as they said it was. And so when Trump looks to be conquering it, which it is, well, you know, the death rates are going down, even the fake death rates going down. Because this thing was never more dangerous than a freaking cold, freaking common flu. But now, since the media artificially hyped it up, and now that it's going away, Trump can look, say, I did it. So he's using their hyperbole concerning it to make himself out to be a hero who conquered it, when really there was nothing more to do than nothing. If you did nothing, the thing would be going away like it has, if you did nothing. But since Trump did all these draconian, drastic measures in play, he looks like he conquered it. But he had to do it politically. He couldn't just sit there and do nothing. So the whole thing works to his advantage. The whole thing works to his advantage. And now they're fast-tracking a vaccine, and I don't think Trump's going to make it mandatory. Hell no, Trump is not going to make it mandatory. Not at first, anyway. But since this thing's going away on its own, you could make the vaccine out of wheat paste and, you know, salt or whatever. You could make this vaccine out of Kool-Aid, and it'll work. You see what I'm saying? It's not that difficult to come up with a vaccine, because the thing, the CV19er, is not any more complicated than a cold virus. So, oh, we got a vaccine. Yeah, big whoop. You probably just recycled one from 1956. Probably recycled a vaccine. Of course, you can fast track that. Maybe tweak it a little bit. Make it the jar a different color. And now you have a vaccine for CV19er, near the savior of the world, using the left's stupidity and building it up against them, you see. Got a vaccine. Woohoo! How'd he do that? It was such a mighty virus. No, it was actually a cold. A six-year-old in his basement could have come up with a vaccine with a little science kit that he bought at Amazon.com. So this, it's beautiful, beautiful. It's all working for our favor. Don't worry, things are going great. Now to the armor. Let's go, let's go. Therefore, Paul says in verse 13 of Romans, Ephesians 6, take up the panoply of God. Remember Anna Lombano, told you about her on Friday. Take up the panoply. Concordance says panoply. I hate that word. It's every implement. Nobody knows what panoply means. Just say armor. That you may be enabled to withstand in the wicked day, and having effected all, to stand. Stand then, girded about your loins. I love that. Stand then. What have I been telling you about how simple this is? Stand then. This whole thing about the armor, I keep saying it on every episode, is that it exists. God already built it. It's a fortress. So Paul says that we're going to withstand in the wicked day. So we're in the wicked day, but we're going to withstand all of Satan's tricks, all his lies. We're doing that now. So take up the armor of God, that you may be enabled to withstand in the wicked day, and having effected all, what's all? Understanding everything God has done. That's what you effect. Having effected all. What did I effect? The only thing I effected was coming to a realization of the truth. Having effected all, to stand. You see, because that, what's the simplest thing you can do? Stand under something. I gave you the illustration of the umbrella. The simplest thing you can do when a rain starts coming down, starts pouring, is stand under an awning. Ooh, he effected all. That guy, he really effected an amazing plan to withstand the rain. What did he do? He went under an awning. Whoa, that guy's a genius. What a meteorological whiz kid. That's how ingenious we are in being insulated, protected from Satan's deceptions. We stand up under this armor of God, God's armor. So having effected all, to stand, stand then, girded about your loins with truth. Stand then. This is a scripture verse. Stand then. What am I supposed to do now? Oh my God, here comes Satan with all his fiery arrows. What am I supposed to do? Stand then. Stand. Just stand under the awning of the armor of God. It's not complicated. Other channels on YouTube, not anybody tuned into the truth, but Christian channels, they want to make this a giant program. And if you write them, if you call now, operators will be standing by, and Pastor Rick will send you his 6-CD set of How to Build the Armor of God. It's just, you stand then. Just stand. Stand up under it. Stand then, gird about your loins with truth. This is the first piece of armor, truth. Gird about your loins. The loins is like the center part of the human body. It speaks of the strength. Like that, that's where all your heat is. That's where you, it's called your core. People do core exercises that they want to strengthen the core. This is your trunk. This is your gut. Everything. It's a figure of speech. Gird up your loins with truth. Truth is supposed to undergird everything. It does undergird everything. If you know the truth, then what? The truth will set you free and it'll keep you warm. Yeah, truth will set you free and keep you warm. Girded about your loins with truth. That's the basic. And I've been told in the past that truth is relative. Like, I believe that God is the savior of all humanity because 1 Timothy 4:10 says he is. Somebody, I say to you, well, that's your truth. No, it's not. It's not my truth. It's the truth. I even had somebody tell me at breakfast one day, somebody who is completely bought into relativism, that if somebody thinks that 2 + 2 = 5, well, that's their truth. That's their truth. You got to let them believe that. That's their truth. Because, of course, in today's politically correct society, you can't tell anybody they're wrong. It's cruel and unusual to tell anybody they're mistaken or that they've messed up their facts. No, everybody's opinion matters. It's precious. 2 + 2 = 5. That's precious. Precious. No, moron. 2 + 2 = 4. It ain't 5. You remember that scene, the Holy Hand Grenade? Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You pull the pin, you count to a 3. You don't count to 4, and 5 is right out. No, you count to 3. 2 + 2 = 4, and it's nothing else. And if you think it's 5, you're an idiot, and you need to be corrected. That's truth. With the cuirass of righteousness put on. Now, this is a good word in a concordance, an awkward word, the cuirass of righteousness. What the hell is a cuirass? That's a good question. Q-U-I-R-A-S-S. Oh, the suffix there seems to be ass, A-S-S, but it does not cover your ass. It actually, a cuirass covers the entire body. This is important because every other translation says breastplate. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not a breastplate because what does the breastplate do? Yeah, it protects your vital organs, but what if you're George Custer and you're at Little Bighorn and you're on your horse running away from the Native Americans? They shoot you with arrows. And where do they get you? In the back. So you got to protect your back. And this is beautiful because in this context, that's where Satan gets you. He gets you from behind. He's sneaky. Remember, we're fighting. We're standing up to the stratagems of the adversary. Verse 11. And I told you that stratagem in the Greek methodia is, within that word, carries the scent of deceit. The scent of deceit wafts off the word methodia. It's a stratagem, a strategy. It's underhanded. And so Satan will get you from behind. I told you, he attacks you from inside the camp. He attacks you ways you least expect it. You got to cover your back. Cover your back. Cover your back. Isn't that what everybody ever says? Always says? Cover your back. Watch your back. No, they say, that's right. Yeah, you're right. They say, watch your back. Watch your back. With Satan, you got to watch your back. That's the way of the cuirass of righteousness. Righteousness, I'm going to end with this one. We'll go to the other ones tomorrow. Righteousness is the fact that God has declared you to be righteous. You need to know that. This is part of the being girded about your loins with truth, but it's a specific part. The cuirass of righteousness put on. That is understood, apprehended, appreciated. What? This is speaking of justification. just and right. These are synonymous. Justification, righteousness, the same root word in the Greek. So we're looking at justification here. We're looking at the truth that Paul introduces in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4. That is justification by faith, that we believe that God has declared us to be righteous because he says that we're righteous because he killed the old humanity through his son. He put the old humanity on his son on the cross, the old humanity, the Adam thing, the curse of Adam, put that on his son, and his son died with it on him, took it into the tomb with him, rose without it. Now God sees us as a new humanity. He sees us as clean, as pure, as holy. And so he says, you are righteous. I declare you to be righteous. But God, you look in the mirror, you make a graph of your life. I hope you don't do this. And you say, me, righteous? I'm just such a bad person. I'm so terrible. God says, shut up. I said you're righteous. Would you just shut up? I took all that crap to the cross. What do you think my son was doing, suffering for 6 hours for? For you to look in the mirror and say how terrible you are. That's the old humanity. That's what justification is. So you need to constantly remind yourself of that, because Satan will lie about that. That's the biggest lie he tells. As I told you in the series I did on sin, the series I did on Romans chapter 6, go back and look at that. I wrote a book about this called How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. The number one lie of Satan, his number one stratagem that you need the armor of God for, and the first piece of armor, other than the fact that we're girded about our loins with truth, is the cuirass of righteousness. It covers your front and back. And it is being saturated with the truth in your mind that you are righteous, because I'm telling you, that is Satan's number one weak spot. If he sees, you have a little chink in your armor, you ever heard of that saying? You have a little spot in your armor, Satan will find that. And the spot that all of us have, we're susceptible to this BS accusation that we are not righteous. This BS accusation that, I don't know why I'm in the body of Christ. I don't know why God chose me. I'm such a miserable person. That's Satan. You have not put on the cuirass of righteousness. Why are you walking around without your cuirass? What are you doing without your cuirass? If I see you coming out of the house one more time without your cuirass of righteousness put on, I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like a mother who has just seen her kid go out without his mittens. If I see you go outside, it's very cold out there, you go out without your mittens, you're going to freeze your fingers off. If I see you out without the cuirass of righteousness, knowing that God has declared you to be righteous, that's not good enough for you? Who else has to say it? I mean, God said it. Who else? Who has more weight? Whose word carries more weight? Whose word is most likely to be correct? God's word that you've been that he's declared you to be righteous in his sight, or your opinion? You looking in the mirror. Which has more weight? Do not leave the house one more time without the cuirass of righteousness put on.